take your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 31, verses 1 through 6. Bezalel is one of the most amazing men in the Bible, and very few know about him. It's wonderful to take people in the Bible, and when you study a character, it helps if you look at their traits, and then you say, why did God put them there? What does God want me to learn from them? Bezalel is described in two chapters, Exodus 31 and Exodus 36, when he actually starts the construction and building of what God had him do. If you'll notice there in verse 2, it says, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. This wasn't volunteer. This wasn't his profession. He was called of God. He was called of God. That means for him to do the work that he did, I also know there had to be a preparation time. Keep in mind, they're 6 months out of Egypt. They're about 6 months. Exodus 20 is the Ten Commandments. Of course, the next chapter is the golden calf where 3,000 people die, but because of the idolatry. But they're about 6 months out of Egypt. That means Bezalel got his training in the metalwork and the stonework when he was a slave in Egypt. He grew up with this craft, and I honestly don't think as a slave to the Egyptians, he was thinking, I would lay it on the line. We'll find out when we get to heaven. But I don't think as he was working as a slave to the Egyptians, he was going, whew, if I can just master these trades, one day I'm going to get to build the furniture in the tabernacle. He had no idea. But God prepared his slave work to one day be used to do literally one of the most amazing pieces of architecture the world has ever known. And that is the tabernacle. And that is the tabernacle. So he was called of God. Next, when you look at verse 3, notice this. It says, and I have filled him with the Holy Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. Now, if I compare that, just stay right where you're at, but if I compare that with Exodus 35, it says, Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he hath filled him with the Spirit of God. Now, listen closely. Ephesians 1 teaches us that we are permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit when you trust Jesus as your Savior. That's not the Bible study tonight. But Ephesians 5:18 then says, the day you got saved, the Holy Spirit came in you to permanently live. And then as you read Ephesians 5, you're found, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You're then commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit that lives in you. And just like a drunk man is controlled by the liquor and does things he would not normally do if he wasn't drunk, the illustration is a spirit-filled Christian is supposed to be controlled by the Spirit of God, and he will do things then that he would not normally do if he was not filled with the Spirit of God. So this is not something that's casual. Listen closely. In the Old Testament, it was very different. In the New Testament, when you get saved, you're permanently indwelt. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came on men and left, came on them and left. You'll find that in the life of Samson. I believe it is 16 times the Holy Spirit came on Samson and then, of course, left and came on and left. Saul prophesied because the Spirit of God came upon him. It says came upon him. David, obviously, it says the Spirit of God came upon David. Isaiah says the Spirit of God, Isaiah 61, is upon me and hath anointed me to preach. But listen closely. What makes this statement unique about Bezalel is only a few times were men filled with the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. If you take a concordance and you look up the words, filled with the Holy Spirit, Bezalel is the only one in the Old Testament that it said. Now, I know David was filled with the Spirit when God was using him to pen scripture. I know that, but it doesn't say that. It says the Spirit of God was upon David, and the Spirit of God was upon Isaiah. But Bezalel is the only person in the Old Testament where it says, God says, I have filled him with my Spirit. The only person, until you get to the New Testament, that is filled with the Holy Spirit, the next person, still in the Old Testament,
is John the Baptist, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit from when? From his mother's womb. So from the time, which is different, and John the Baptist is the only one that that's ever happened to. But the next person in the Old Testament to be filled with the Holy Spirit is John the Baptist. So that's what makes this unique. When you look at it, you say everybody was filled with the Spirit. I think they were controlled by the Spirit. But God said of Bezalel, I have filled him with my Spirit. And I'm going to control him and his actions and his craft and his workmanship. And I think that is unique. Next, look at verse 3. I just want to show you just a few things and then we'll apply it to ourselves here. So God called Bezalel. God fills him with the Holy Spirit. And then I want you to notice this too. Look at verse 3. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. So God fills Bezalel with the Holy Spirit, and then he also fills him with wisdom. I'll share this more with you in just a second, but why did God do this? He called Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. He called Joshua to lead the people into the promised land, and he called Aaron to lead the people in their worship and sacrifice to the Lord. But God called and filled Bezalel to make the furniture for the tabernacle. The tabernacle was the center of the camp of Israel. The tabernacle was the center of Israel's spiritual life. And when it's time to build the tabernacle so God could dwell with his people, God called Bezalel to make the furniture. Once it was made and placed in, think about this just for a second. He made the ark. He made the candlestick, which is, we'll talk about it here in just a second, absolutely the most ornate piece made out of one piece of gold. Pieces weren't made and then melded into each other. Beaten gold, one piece. That would take wisdom and skill and workmanship. Absolutely amazing. To the degree that God says, I'm going to take your skill and empower you in such a way that the work you will do will be obviously of me, that you could not do without me. All right? And then you could look at all the furniture in the tabernacle and think that. It was amazing. It was mind-blowing. God showed Moses what the tabernacle was to be made of and look like when he was on the mount. But God needed someone to carry out and make what he showed Moses. Listen closely. What I've seen in construction is most woodworkers stay in their realm of wood. That's their craft. That's where they stay at. Most metal workers will stay in their realm. Most stone workers will stay in their realm of stone and tile. Bezalel did all three. All three. Wood, metal, and stone. Aholiab worked with textile and the fabric and the coverings of the tabernacle. The material, it said, finely woven linen of these colors. And how do you make the priest's ephod with no seam? I understand if you're making a shirt, you're going to make the front half, you're going to make the back half, and then you sew it together, right? How do you make a garment with sleeves that encircles your body and has no seam? And it's of no sewing. It says finely woven linen. How do you do that? That was Aholiab. He was over the materials, the priest garments, the coverings of the tabernacle, and that took the wisdom and spirit of God. It took that. Now, Bezalel was the master builder, and Aholiab was his assistant. This calling and filling was for everybody involved. You're in Exodus 31. Would you look at verse number 6? Ready? It says, and I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. And then watch this. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. Can you go ahead and I know we were just going to stay in Exodus 31. Go ahead and go to chapter 36 and let's just look at the first two verses. Just turn over a couple of chapters and look at Exodus 36, verse 1. Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab, and then watch this, and every wise-hearted man, in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary. It says, every wise-hearted man. That means, I think this, God didn't use somebody that didn't know anything about craft. They had wisdom first in that area. And if you were a craftsman and you worked with stone or wood or metal or fabric. God then took their wisdom, men of wisdom, that craft, and then empowered them and filled them with the Spirit and gave them His wisdom. So God took their craft. Well, it says in verse 2. It says the same thing. Look at verse 2. And Moses called Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come up unto the work to do it. I don't think somebody without the craft or had not learned it in slave labor in Egypt, I don't think they would have said, but God stirred the hearts of those who had the craft to do it, and they came forward. God stirred their heart. Now, if I applied this tonight, Bezaleel was called of God. Christian, take your Bible and go to Ephesians chapter 1. Bezaleel is God's pattern, I believe, for the common man. And there's so much encouragement that can be gotten from Exodus 31. You read this and you think, wow, look at what God used him to do. And yet here's the encouraging part. God used Bezaleel and God could use you. God can use you the same way. God's looking for men to use. Look at chapter 1, Ephesians 1. Look at verse 15. Look at this prayer. I've showed it to you before, but I want to emphasize something to you. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, Ephesians 1:16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is what he's praying. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Look at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. You know what he's praying for every Christian? I pray that God will show you the hope of His calling. And every Christian in here, if you're saved, God has a calling on your life. The pastor? No. But I promise you this, there's a work that God calls every Christian to do. And Paul says, I'm praying for you. Now that you're saved, I pray that your eyes could be opened spiritually and that you could see what God saved you to do. Because I'll tell you something, there's no greater joy in the Christian life of finding what God saved you to do. We're all supposed to go to church. We're all supposed to go soul winning. We're all supposed to read our Bible. But as you do the small things of the will of God that's obvious, God says, now I can direct you into the more specifics of the reason I saved you. This is for every person. You're in Ephesians? Go to chapter 2. Go to chapter 2. Look at verse 8. I know we know it's a famous verse, but I want you to see verse 10. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Think about this. Before you were saved, God ordained before time, there's works that you are supposed to walk in and accomplish before you die. Isn't that what the verse says? Before you got saved, God planned there to be things for you to do. That's why I'm tickled for every Christian that's in church. But my hope of every person that's in church is that God, through the preaching of the Word of God and through the Spirit of God, God will show you your purpose in life. You say, well, that's I'm a shoemaker, or I'm a machinist in a shop, or that's your vocation. Your avocation, put an A in front of vocation. Your avocation is your calling. That's what you do to earn money, because we all got to have money to live. But that's not your purpose in life. That's not your purpose. Your purpose is revealed as God shows you why He saved you. That's Ephesians chapter 2. I know I'm called to be pastor. I know that. I know God's called me to be a pastor. I will learn at the end of my life what God saved me to do by what I let Him do through me. And the older you are, I know for a teenager this is hard to understand, but talk to the older people who've been in church for a long time. As they look back over their life, it's easy for them to see what God has used them to do through their faithfulness. I can look back on my life. There's two things, possibly three, several, that the Lord destined me to do. I believe, as I look back on my life, the children's CDs that I got to make. That's a privilege. The Lord let me make those. I had no idea when I was making the children's CDs that that was something God saved me to do. I made the first ones a couple blocks from our house. My wife and I were on a date. I said, honey, listen to these new children's songs. And I was doing it with piano and put it in, and my wife started crying. And she said, honey, you're supposed to do those professionally. And I remember, I can take you right to the place on Saturn Parkway in Columbia, Tennessee. I could take you right where it was. But my wife, she had tears coming down her face, and she said, honey, you're supposed to do those professionally, not just at a makeshift studio at 30 bucks an hour. And that logged in my mind. And a year later, I would undertake probably one of the biggest projects I've ever done. They had the children's music laid out, categorizing it. It took me 3 days to record. It took me a full day to record each one. Then laying it out, one of the biggest projects I've done. They tell me now those children's CDs have gone literally all over the world. I meet kids. Just met one of the tour group that was here, the man that preached in the summer. His wife came up to me and said, I grew up listening to you. I didn't know him from Adam. I'll never forget the mother that came up to me this was about 7 or 8 years ago, came up to me and said, I want my daughter to meet you. She can see now. She had surgery about 4 months ago, and her eyes are healed, and I wanted her to meet you. Who is this girl? She listened to you from the time she was born, and she couldn't see. And I wanted her to meet the man that's been singing to her. Honey, that's Brother Nash. Who am I? When I look back on those children's CDs, I was doing it for my children. I wanted my kids to have good music. I look back on it now. That's one of the things God saved me to do. You say, what else is your destiny? I'm not bragging tonight as much as I'm testifying, saying I had no idea God was going to do that. And if God could use me, God could use you. I'll give you another destiny. The Baptist history work that I've done and gotten to do for the books, you know, we give them to, you know, you don't have it yet, you can see me. We give these out in our church. Amen. I have hundreds of hours in this. Hundreds. I didn't know when I was preparing this for a course because somebody said, here, teach Baptist history and help the teenagers in the school, help them understand why they're Baptists. So I started putting stuff together, and whenever I do something, I give my all to it. I didn't know. This is one of the things God saved me to do, and I'm thankful for that. You say, what else? I love to teach the Bible. I can tell that is something God saved me to do. Now, Christian, I'm not bragging tonight. I'm not boasting. I'm trying to say, look, if God could use me, God could use you. Look at Bezalel and Aholiab. They were prepared. And do you realize before you got saved, God was preparing you? There's things in my life I look back on now. When Jesus fed the 5,000 and the 7,000 with the loaves and fishes, how many baskets did he take up? The fragments that remain, Jesus said, gather every piece that nothing be wasted. 12 baskets full of sandwiches the disciples gathered. I think they took them to the little boy's house who gave the fish and the loaves, I think, personally. We'll find out when we get to heaven. But think about this just for a second. God won't let anything in your life go to waste. You say, well, I've only been saved this long. If you'll give yourself to God, God will use everything. I'm talking before you got saved and after you got saved. If you'll give your life to God, if you'll give yourself to the Lord. God did that with Bezalel. He called him Christian. You're called also. Go to Genesis 24. I want to show you something. Genesis chapter 24. If you would have told me in Bible college, this is what God's going to use you to do, I wouldn't have called you a liar. I might have laughed at you, okay? But I wouldn't have believed you. And I think God could use Bezalel, because Bezalel, I don't think he was saying, one day I'm going to get to make the furniture in the tabernacle, so I better learn to do this right. I think Bezalel, I think his heart cry was, dear God, please use me. And I think God hears that cry. Dear God, please use me. Look at Genesis 24. Look at verse 26. Talking about Eliezer. Beautiful chapter. You can read it later. But these verses right here. And the man, Eliezer, bowed down his head. He finds Isaac's wife and worshiped the Lord. Look at verse 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. And then this phrase here, I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. You say, why does that touch your heart? Because Eliezer said, I found her. This is the one God sent me all the way. He sent me back to Abraham's land, and I found a wife for his son, for Isaac. And he said, you know, and they said, who are you? And he said, being in the way, the Lord led me. Do you know how the Lord leads you? If you'll get in his way. I just get in God's way. And I figured with all the preachers quitting and with all the servants of God quitting, I thought, Lord, is there any room for me? I'll learn how to win souls. I'll learn how to, well, what's that? I'll learn how to do that. And being in the way, the Lord led me. And if you would get in God's way, he could lead you. But you do, there is a desire factor. There is a want to issue. You do have to want it. And if you don't want to be used by God, I got news for you. Then he won't. But I love that verse, being in the way, the Lord led me. And I remember going soul winning and Gene taking me to house soul winning and mall soul winning and passing out tracts and we'd work the street corners. I remember going street preaching for the first time. I remember, and I was thinking, I heard the stories of them standing up on the soapbox. Folks, the Bible says Jesus is the only way to heaven. And I heard that and my heart would burn. And I just thought one day I could get a trailer and a tent and I could go from city to city and go to the parks and set up that tent. And I could have, I want to have hundreds saved. I'd like to preach to multitudes the gospel. I've never done that. God didn't open a door for that. But I remember going, oh, isn't that neat to hear those stories? God, could you use me? We need these books bound over here. I'll help with it. Being in the way, the Lord led me. Do you know how God leads you? If you'll just try to get in the way. Just try to get in the way. Do what you can. Watch this. Go back now and let's apply two more things. Go to Exodus 31. You're in Genesis there. Go to Exodus 31. Verse 3 says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. God has made all of us different. All of us. We don't have time tonight, but if you went to Ephesians 4:11, it says, and he gave some apostles, and he gave some prophets, and he gave some teachers. Everybody doesn't have the same thing. He gives some. All of us are different, but God gives gifts to all of us. All of us have a gift. Some of you have two. Some of you have three. Some of you have four. But God gives all of us gifts when we get saved. God doesn't want us all to do the same thing. And for the few that can do the same thing, they don't do it the same way. I am not expected as a Christian to be exactly like you. You're not expected to be exactly like me. You are expected to yield and give yourself to the Lord. You and I are expected and we're commanded of God to be filled with the Holy Spirit so God can use us. Bezalel teaches me that. If you say, well, I'm not the pastor, so I don't matter. Bezalel didn't say that. God wanted Bezalel to build. God needed somebody. Moses didn't have the time to do it. He knew what it was supposed to look like. He oversaw it. Yeah, it's supposed to do this, the knobs, and then the pomegranate, and then make sure it's this. And when God showed it to me, the candlestick was about this high, and it had the lamps on. He oversaw it, but he couldn't make it. God needed somebody to work through. It does matter. What you do for the Lord is supposed to be done with him and through him, just like Bezalel. Look at verse 3, and we'll end with this point. God filled Bezalel with wisdom. It says, I filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom. Just because you aren't the pastor doesn't mean that your life isn't important. This is not about doing what your will is for your life. When you do what God wants you to do and you seek his will, whether you're a husband, a dad, a wife, a mother, a son, daughter, Sunday school teacher, mechanic, usher, soul winner, helping with the maintenance, mowing the grass, altar worker, junior church preacher, bus worker. You say, landscaping's not in the Bible. Baloney. 1 Chronicles 4:23 says, these were the potters and those that dwelt among plants and hedges. Ha! See, landscaping is in the Bible. Ha! I'm telling you, it's all important. From the people that mow the grass and trim the hedges, everything's important if you'll do it with the Lord, if you'll let God fill you while you do it. What we do, we're supposed to do for the Lord. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You say, just because you're not standing in front of the church preaching the Bible doesn't mean that what you do for the Lord is less important or that God doesn't want to use you. I thank God for the help in our church. And there's more people than this, but Brother Bernie helps me with the records and the county permits, the time he puts in. Brother Miller, Jeremiah, and Andrew helping with the PA. Brother Harris doing the painting on the front wall. Didn't he do a good job? Amen. Gave of his time. Wasn't that distracting, you know, with the two pieces, you know, the pieces missing, and you kind of looking at me and go, who's going to paint that? And I'll get, you know. He came in and painted that. I'm very thankful for that. He's done other things. How about Brother Colin and Brother Brightwell helping with electrical things around here? What a blessing. I hate getting shocked. I do. Some love it. You know, like today it might happen. Not me. I was doing electrical work not knowing anything. And the electrician he shut off the power. He said, need to teach you a few things. We were putting in, he already had the wires run. He was showing me how to wire in electrical outlets. And so he said, first thing you have to learn as an electrician, always turn the power off. So we go all the way up top to the 5-story building. The circuit breaker thing, he said, always make sure the main is off. I said, okay. This is new construction, right? So we start working. After about an hour of working on outlets, I go to grab this outlet, do the wire. Toasted my clients, my $20 clients, okay? I mean, blew a hole right in the middle of them. I was like, oh! He comes up behind me.
Lesson number two, make sure your partner doesn't turn the power on while you're working.
I have no desire to be an electrician. Do you understand? I learned the hard way. Another thing was we had two master electricians at our church in Tennessee, and when we were doing it, we were putting in a light socket, and he says, I still remember to this day, he said, I need five of the teenage boys. I'm going to show them how to put in an electrical outlet back here, three-way switch. Now, you boys, we're all sitting there watching the teenage boys. I was like, this is a good shop class here. And he said, now, you boys, you got a live wire here. You got your neutral. You got your, now you got to be careful to see the kills. Power's on. The reason I know the power's on, and I don't know what got into him, but he said, because if you touch it to your tongue, it burned his tongue, right? I think there was a little bit of smoke coming out of his mouth. And at first I was like, "What was this planned? Because that's pretty awesome." He said, boy, if I need to go into the I need to go to the bathroom right now because I can't feel my tongue right now. So here's five boys and us assistant pastors standing there, and I was like, wow, he's one more reason I don't want to be an electrician. I don't know what got in his mind. I hate getting shocked. I hate it with a passion. I hate electricity, although I thank God for it, okay? Reason I'm telling you that, my wife, I thank the Lord for her work in the decorations. She helps me in so many ways, and we get to serve together and do so many things. Her time with the finances and the entering hours that she does. Brother and Mrs. Dorsey helping how they do so well. Brother and Mrs. Norfolk helping with the Prophet's Chamber and the Junior Church. And I can go all around the room. Thank the Lord for those that help. Exodus 31:3 says, God filled him with the spirit and wisdom. Listen closely. Do you realize if you let God fill you and seek, as you seek his wisdom, that God, listen closely, God can give you the skills required to serve him. That's what one word for wisdom is. Perception, common sense, and skills. And if you say, well, I've never done that before, if you'd ask God to fill you, he'd give you the skills to do it. That's what one word for wisdom is. God can give you the ability to do it as if you've done it before. That's very helpful. In the world, a man learns his job by experience and time in his trade. When you trusted Christ, you gained the Lord who can help you and give you understanding and the skills required to do what he saved you to do. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful. I remember being made a choir director. I'd never led a choir before. This is what Pastor Owens told me. I said, you want me to be choir director? He goes, I said, I've never led a choir before. I've led congregational. He said, you'll learn. And I remember going and praying, God, he could have any song leader in the world he wants. And he picked me. Who am I? And I remember standing before that choir. I'd study choir, sight singing, all of it. I was like, dear God, help me. And I can tell you, for 10 years of leading the choir at Shenandoah, we had the time of our life. It was great. But God used me as a choir director when I can't hear. That's God enabling. That's God saying, I'll help you and give you the skills to do what you couldn't do without me. as if you've done it before. If anything, I'm an example of if God could use me, a music man with hearing aids. They almost didn't let me in the Marine Corps because my hearing is so bad. I was this close to getting kicked out. It's been that way since I was 18. You're a music man? God enabled me. And I'm testifying tonight. God enabled me. There's no other, you can't explain it any other way. I'd be directing the choir. This side's flat over here. Let's fix it. Let's go over our part here real quick. How'd you hear that? God did that. Okay, let's tie this together here, right here, working with groups and music. God enabled me to serve him, just like God could enable you, just like he gave Bezaleel wisdom. You have a calling on your life if you're saved. God wants to fill you with his spirit. God wants to fill you with wisdom and understanding and all manner of workmanship. Ask the Lord to show you what he wants you to do and where he wants you to serve. Then do it with all your might and do it faithfully. Can I just, let's end this with tonight with this. Number one, what do you do for the Lord? Where do you serve? Do you ever pray that God uses you? Do you ever hope that God uses you? Dear God, before I die, use me, please. That's a Christian's prayer. Bezaleel teaches me. I love looking at him in the Bible. God took a common man, a workman, and filled him with the Spirit and wisdom and gave him what he needed. Let's pray. Father, please use this example tonight. Please help us as your people, Lord, to want to be used by you. And Lord, each person here has a call.